Hey everyone, welcome to episode 148 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. I appreciate you being here and on board. And this week's show is an interview with Lisa Marie Varon. She is, of course, the women's wrestler formerly known as Victoria in the WWE and Tara in TNA Impact Wrestling. And I got to thank my buddy Tom Harness. He actually reached out to Lisa Marie's new agent, Kathy Cardenas, and requested an interview for the 25th Hour radio show, which is hosted by Rob Fairless. He lets us fill in from time to time, and we get to do some wrestling gigs as well as some other great interviews. So be sure to check out the 25th Hour radio show on YouTube as well as on Facebook and Twitter, all kinds of social media out there. You can find past interviews that Tom and I have conducted as well as Rob Fairless himself. I know that he has talked to, in recent weeks, Bobby Lashley, who is, of course, affiliated with Global Force Wrestling right now, and then Tom and I have talked to Diamond Dallas Page as well as Tito Santana, and now we add Victoria to that list. I've also interviewed Leaping Lanny Poffo through the partnership with the 25th Hour radio show, and all of those shows are available in the archives here at My 123 Cents. I appreciate Rob letting me recycle those and use them for podcast. Speaking of this podcast, I do have Jay Spade from Stride Pro Wrestling coming up in the next couple of weeks. We will be talking about his big championship opportunity coming up on Friday, October 6th in Pinckneyville, Illinois. Also, working on a big guest in WWE Hall of Famer and former Intercontinental Champion Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who will also be a part of that October 6th show. I'm hoping to secure that interview in the next week or two, and that will be a part of My 123 Cents right here as well. And also want to give a shout-out, as I mentioned, Stride Pro Wrestling returns October 6th in Pinckneyville. Lots of big matches. They'll be coming up on the My 123 Cents blog as well as the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page, so be sure to check out Stride Pro Wrestling.com and you can get connected there. But then a week later, Stride Pro Wrestling returns on October 14th. That's a Saturday night at the Illinois Star Center Mall. So a show on a Friday night in Pinckneyville, a show on a Saturday night back in Marion. So two big weeks of Stride Pro Wrestling coming up for you, and I'm excited about all of that. And of course, Cape Championship Wrestling is returning on September 29th and September 30th. They have two big events going on, a CCW Fan Fest, which is happening on September 29th. You can go to Cape Championship Wrestling for all the details on that. But the Fan Fest includes a concert featuring Jeff Hardy, who of course is still a current WWE superstar. So that's going to be a big deal for them coming up on Friday night, September 29th, 6 o'clock at the Arena Park in Cape Girardeau. Then of course the following night, Best of the Best 2 will be happening. That is their wrestling event for the month of September. So again, stick with my123cents.com. I will keep you posted on all things going on indie wrestling here in the Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri, Western Kentucky area. And I've got to give a shout out too as well to SICW up in East Carondelet, Illinois. Ricky Steamboat is going to also be up there on October 7th, the night after his appearance here in Southern Illinois. So if you're in the St. Louis area and can't make it down to Southern Illinois, you could cross the river and go over into East Carondelet and check out Steamboat there. He will be a part of that show. Larry Matisik, of course, a longtime commentator for the Wrestling at the Chase program will be there as well. Herb Simmons, who has become a friend of mine through social media. I appreciate what he is doing for wrestling, independent wrestling up in the St. Louis area. So, and my friends from Stride Pro are also a part of SICW, including Heath Hatton and Chris Hargis and Axe Allwort. And so I'm looking forward to all things indie wrestling over the next few weeks here in Southern Illinois and Southeast Missouri as well. So as I promised, the interview today is with Lisa Marie Varon. Before we get to her, though, I also want to remind you guys about something I am doing with Collar and Elbow Brand. And of course, you can go online, collarandelbowbrand.com, and use the promo code MY123CENTS, all one word, all in caps, and buy your t-shirts there. There are a lot, and they're adding new shirts to the collection all the time. So go out there, support indie wrestling, and support indie wrestling podcast. And I appreciate the support, not just your listens, but if you do go over there and shop as well, it would mean a great deal to me for a lot of gratitude for the work that goes into the podcast, the blog, and everything else that kind of builds up the My 123 Cents brand. And your help is certainly appreciated in that realm. So I'm not going to talk much more here. I want to get to the interview with Lisa Marie. We go about 30 minutes, and she is a great interview. And actually, currently, right now, when we talked to her the middle of last week, she was getting ready to leave for Scotland, I believe she said, and is currently over there now, overseas, as I record this intro. So well wishes to her, and I know she'll be wrestling in Nashville coming up on October 14th, which is also the same night as that Stride show here in Southern Illinois. But if you are in the Nashville area, and I know some of you are listening from that area, so head on out to that event as well. I don't have it pulled up right in front of me, but I will have the information in the write-up here on jitterymonkey.com. So without any further ado, Lisa Marie Varon.
My personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 123 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 25th Hour Radio Show. I'm Kevin Huntsberger from my123cents.com and WSIL-TV, joined as always by my partner in crime, Tom Harness of Harness Digital Marketing. Tom, welcome.
Yeah, what an exciting day for you.
As a lifelong wrestling fan, yes, I love being able to do these interviews with professional wrestlers, and it's always a thrill and an honor to do these.
Well, I got to tell you, when we were doing some early research, I always consider you the Google of wrestling.
And thank you.
Every time I have a question or I need to know, and I like it because I'm not as well versed as you. My knowledge extends primarily just in the 80s, and then that's it from a kid. But you literally not only are a fan, but you are, I consider you an expert. And today you helped me out a lot with learning a lot about our guest, Lisa Marie.
That's right. She is the artist formerly known as Victoria in WWE and Tara in TNA. Which is now Global Force Wrestling. So what would you prefer us call you, Lisa Marie?
You know what? It's whatever you want to call me. You can call me Lisa. At least my friends still like you in the wrestling business. It's the only industry that people should call you by your character name forever. So, you know, in the wrestling biz, they call me Victoria or Vic or Vicky or stuff like that. It's so bizarre. And I'm so used to it, I still answer to all my character names. But whatever you feel comfortable.
Well, that is awesome. I you know, I'm going to preface this with a story, as Tom said as we were doing the intro. Lifelong wrestling fan. I've been to several WrestleManias, and at two of them, I had the opportunity to meet you at the Access events, and it was a pleasure. It was at WrestleMania 22 in Chicago, and then WrestleMania 24 in Orlando. So, again, the opportunity to do this interview is one that I've looked forward to for quite some time as I host a wrestling podcast as well as co-host this particular radio show. So can you kind of start us off and talk a little bit about how you became a WWE superstar, how you got into the wrestling business in the first place?
Okay, I wish it was a glamorous story and, an underdog, you know, all the people that started in the independent scene. I wasn't a wrestler prior to getting into business. I was competing in fitness competitions, and it's a combination of the bodybuilding, and then we had to do a dance routine, which was like incorporated gymnastics and certain moves that were required to get my pro card. So I was competing, and I was became really good friends with Tori Wilson, who I'm still very close with, and Trish Stratus. So we came from the fitness industry, and Tori brought me backstage at WCW, and I got, I was just curious. That's when I started watching. I go, what is she doing? and went backstage and watched her work. And I said, you get paid to actually walk someone to the ring. I said, that's unbelievable. And she goes, I know, it's crazy. And I was backstage, and my first skit was, they saw me backstage, they asked me if I had any cute clothes on me, which I thought I was really dressed cute, to be honest with you. My feelings were really bruised, you know. And one of the Nitro girls, the dancers, gave me one of her outfits, and I sat on Scott Hall's lap twirling his little, you know, his hair. And then in the limousine. And that was, I didn't get paid for that or anything like that. I was just an extra. And that's when Tori was trying to get me into the business. And I was biomed in college and had no, you know, I wanted to go to med school. So my prior job to that was removing corneas, heart, saphenous vein, middle ear, and bone for transplantation. So this was a fork in the road, I'm telling you. But I got addicted to working out. That's how I got into the fitness industry, because my family doesn't have a really great health track record, so I got really obsessed with working out. And WCW started, they crumbled, and I was doing personal training in L.A. at Marana 2, China, and at the Crunch Gym in West Hollywood. And we started chit-chatting. She goes, you know, she asked me if I was in the business, and I said, no, I'm good friends with Tori and Trish for the fitness industry. And she goes, you have a really good look for it. You know, you should really look into it. And I said, well, you know what? I'm a tomboy gymnast. I think I can do what the guys do. And I was more attracted to Rey Mysterio and Rob Van Dam style. Okay, mm-hmm. So I was like a flippity doodle kind of girl, right? But I sent my stuff in and spent $600 on my VHS. VHS, I know, I'm totally aging myself. And it was WWF. But I had this this video package put together that had, you know, special effects added to it, music, all the stuff I've done in the industry of entertainment. Okay, and like exercise and all my competitions and stuff like that. And I got a call from Kevin Kelly and Jim Ross 20 days later. And I wasn't expecting the call because, you know, I was in Los Angeles. Everybody's a struggling actor. They're all, you know, you don't really expect a call. You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, I did my best. It's out there, you know. And they said they never received a tryout video or a package as nice of mine. And I was like, really, what do people send you? Because now that I know, they, you know, they send you backyard wrestling stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wasn't familiar with the industry at all, but they asked me, you know, what I was doing in 30 days. They're going to be at Staples Center, they want to meet me. And I said, well, what do you see me doing? I'm obviously not Tori Wilson or Trish Stratus kind of build. And they said, we see you wrestle. And I was like, oh boy, you know, I Googled pro wrestling as soon as I got the phone. And I Googled it and went to wrestling. I called them. I said, hey, WWF is interested in meeting me. I don't know how to wrestle. Could you help me out? And I was a moron. I did not know what it took to be a wrestler. I thought I could learn in 30 days. I thought it was a choreographed routine and everything was staged. It was not my territory at all. And, oh my goodness, they told me to come to the school. You know, little did I know, I didn't know how to wrestle in 30 days. They did beat me up quite a bit because, you know, I come in with a matching outfit with my fake fingernails, my hair, you know, all done, my makeup, and like, okay, I need to learn how to do this. And, I you know, all the people that were at the school, you know, their dream was to be a pro wrestler, and it was handed to me on a silver platter. You know what I mean? I'm very lucky, and I'm not saying, you know, I realized how blessed I was, and I told my parents, you know, I'm going to try out this wrestling thing, you know, and they're like, what are you doing? All this education we paid for. And I say, well, you know me, you know, I'm going to be bored 3 months. I'm going to start another hobby. and see what else is out there, that kind of thing. And I'm still doing it 18 years later, if you can believe that.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. I think you kind of sell yourself short, because you really took the ball and ran with it and kind of came in at a time when women's wrestling was starting to peak again from when it was in its heyday in the, kind of the mid-90s with Alondra Blaze and Bull Nakano. But there were only two women at that point. And then even back when Moolah and Wendi Richter were in the 80s when I was watching. But I felt like in that early 2000 time when it was you and Trish and Lita and Tori Wilson, you really kind of helped take it to the next level.
My foot in the door was being a godmother hoe.
Yes.
That was my foot in the door. Yeah. So I remember, they were looking for two girls to walk the godfather permanently down the aisle. I guess, they were getting their girls from local strip clubs. And, you're not going to get, for some towns, you're not going to get a 10 or an 8. You're going to get bottom of the barrel kind of strippers, you know what I mean?
Yes. And,
that was my foot in the door. I had to meet Godfather's wife at the time, and she ended up really I don't know if she had a say-so in the girls, but I'm sure she did, just because, kept going to the strip clubs, that kind of stuff. I'm not, stereotyping. I don't want to be that person, but... she wanted to make sure that the girls were okay, and that's how I got in. And I remember, Godfather ended up turning on us girls, and one of the, I think Jim, what was it? I don't know who said, we need to throw one of the girls through the table. And I said, well, I go to wrestling school. And they were like, really? And I go, yeah, I can do it. And the other girl did not want to wrestle. Her name was Frosty. The real name was Frosty, and they gave her the name Mandy. Can you believe that?
Wow.
She got robbed on that one.
Oh, my. Seriously. But, they threw me through the table, but little did I know that was going to take me off TV. And I remember going up to Brooklyn Brawler and saying, watching the people work in the ring, before the show would open. And I was like, you know what? I want to do that. I don't want to be on the side anymore. I want to be in the ring. He goes, well, you should go to wrestling school. I go, I am. He goes, I don't think they know that, Lisa, or Victoria. He called me Victoria. They don't. And I go, really? So I went to go to Jim Ross and told him I was in wrestling school. And he goes, oh, I thought you were a physical therapist. And I go, oh, PT was personal training. Oh my gosh. Okay. My fault for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Total lack of communication. And they said, Jerry Lawler said, you need to move to Memphis. It's a better school out there. It's a little bit more old school. And I told Jim Ross, I said, Jerry Lawler told me I should move to Memphis. And he goes, oh, are you willing to relocate? And I go, well, if it gets me in the ring and used more out there, yeah, I'm willing to move. Next week, TV comes, and they said, hey, how fast can you get to Memphis? And I was like, when do you need me? And he goes, a week? I was like, a week?
Wow.
So I moved to Memphis, and I was in wrestling school for 3 years, not just in Memphis. I was in California, Memphis, and then Louisville, Kentucky. And I was in school with the top-notch people. We had Samoa Joe, American Dragon, which was known as Brian Daniel, John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Brock Lesnar, and this was a, at that time, you're not really aware of what school you're into, you're at, and
sure.
My gosh, and Eugene, Nick Dinsmore, Bob Conway, were, Danny Davis, I was in the top-notch school and learned from the best, and
yeah.
Everyone at my wrestling school made it. They made it on TV, and so, we trained. We eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling. It was not a 9-to-5 job. Every day was wrestling. Weekends were performing at shows, at the gas station, at the church, building the ring, taking it down, and which was amazing. It was an amazing experience. It was a bonding experience that, because when I hear people go, we have to build the ring, we have to take it down, I go, oh my God, that was my favorite part. That's when we got to goof around. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, who would have thought, honestly?
So
I did take the ball of, and Fit Finley, God bless him, he was giving the girls, and I apologize for talking your ear off. I'm just a chit chatter, you guys.
No,
I'm not boring.
No, we're listening.
Oh, okay, okay. Fit Finley, you know, he was giving the girls as a rib, as a joke, like, okay, oh, you're new to the business, you're new to WWE or WWF, you handle the girls, you know, and he said, okay, you want me to handle the girls? They're going to be animals. They're going to be, you know, beasts. I'm going to make them into wrestlers and fierce and an awesome division. So he worked with us and gave us, you know, our characters, and that's how I got my psychotic character. The way I wrestled was very intense, and I worked very Memphis style, which is exaggerated, mm-hmm. you know, so the person in the last row could see what you're doing, you know, not exactly for TV, so I had to kind of tone it down when I got to television, because you really work crazy, and I go, well, I'm just very, I don't think I work crazy, I just, you know, very, you know, I was stalking, I stalked my prey, that's how I worked, and I was very intense and aggressive, and that's how I got my character, and I got my finisher, which was called the Widow's Peak, which I called it, because they wanted to shave my head when I was in WWF, and they wanted me to be that Demi Moore character from G.I. Jane.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not Demi Moore. Please don't do that to me. And I said, my finisher is called Widow's Peak after my hairline. I just came up with that on the spot. And I got my finisher from Roderick Strong, who's in the WWE now.
Yeah.
He was, oh my gosh, I think he was 14 years old. And Molly Holly saw him do that finisher and said, you know, Lisa or Victoria, you know, I saw this finisher that you should do, you know, because I was a bigger girl. I was able to lift everybody. So,
mm-hmm.
strong girl. And I did it to Molly, and everyone saw it and said, oh my gosh, it looked so devastating. And I always thank Roderick Strong for putting me on the map. My finisher was, it was amazing.
So you talk about kind of getting the silver platter. Did that create any tension, or did that create any problems for when you went in later to wrestle and with other female wrestlers?
Oh, absolutely. And the guy wrestlers. They were like, who is this chick that, you know, lives in California that doesn't have any wrestling experience? You know, what is she, you know, she just got offered a contract just like that. I had to prove myself. And when I got up there, it wasn't easy. I wanted to quit on several occasions just because it's very high school. I'm not going to lie. It's very cliquey. And it was very difficult for me. I didn't come from that background. And I had to prove myself to the guys and the girls that I deserved that for that spot. So every day I worked hard at my craft. I would meet before the show, meet Fit Finley, Ricky Steamboat, Arn Anderson, all these guys, these amazing wrestlers, Lance Storm, Tommy Dreamer would work with me in the ring to work on, you know, my repertoire, my moves, and learning how to work in the ring and work for the camera as well as the audience. There's a lot. Yeah, I did. I got bullied. I'm going to be honest with you. And, several occasions, you don't cry backstage. I would be in the hotel room.
Wait, there's no crying in wrestling?
There's no crying in wrestling.
Okay.
Exactly. It's like, there's no crying in baseball. I would go back to my hotel and call my ex-husband. I was married at the time. I don't know what I'm doing here. I go, I'm miserable. They're so mean to me. But it made me work hard. It made me prove now I'm one of the boys. So it's just, you know, it was tough. It was tough. But now I'm respected in the industry. You know, I took the ball and I ran with it.
Well,
gave up like every bite of it to be there, you know?
Well, I know Kevin speaks very highly of you, and he points to you as being a huge impact on wrestling, and I know he's probably got millions of questions to ask you.
Can you talk a little bit? You were a part of the very first steel cage match on Monday Night Raw against Lita, and you had the distinction of having won that first steel cage match. Did you realize at the time, you and Lita for that matter, that you were kind of breaking new ground, and then you really, you know, now where, that was in, what, 2003, I believe it was. Now, you know, some 14 years later, we've got women Hell in a Cell. We've got women doing Money in the Bank, and there's speculation that there will be eventually a women's Royal Rumble. Did you think back then that you were maybe laying the groundwork for what would come a generation later?
You know what? It is, at the time, I remember when they were saying, you know, you have a cage match, and then we were just, Trish and I were like, no, shut up. Okay, well, no, we're serious. What are we doing tonight? And they're like, you have a cage match, or you have a hardcore match, you have a street fight. And we're sort of like, you know, in our own little circle, like with Fit Finley, we're like, are you serious? Oh my God, this is nuts. And, but we were my generation, you give us a pillow fight or some lingerie match, you know, we hated those kind of matches because we worked so hard on our wrestling. But, you know, you gave it to us, we're still going to incorporate wrestling in it, regardless, mm-hmm. you know, it's a bra and panty match. We hated that. But, yeah. Oh my gosh, we were working on, you know, that steel cage. I was surprised, honestly. And I wanted to get color, which is bleed. Okay, that's what we call bleed. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, cut ourselves in the head to get color for the camera. You know, not sure. Every match did. I'm exposing way too much, but, you know, it is entertainment. Now WWE, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment. They were like, oh, no, you can't do that. And I was like, we're in a cage match. There's a prop there. I have to get something, you know what I mean? I wanted to be the Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And he would always bleed at wrestling matches, you know?
He bleeds during promos now, so, yeah.
I know. It's insane. I didn't want to do it on house shows or not televised events.
I'm sure.
But I went to Vince McMahon, and I said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? He said, yes, Victoria, what can I do for you? He's very business, okay? I said, you know, I want to say thank you for believing in me and giving me all these unusual matches, and it was a reward. It was like, you know, it was a way to say, you know, they knew I could handle the match. You know what I mean? I was willing mm-hmm. to do anything, though. I'll be honest with you. I was just an eager wrestler, and I said, I would like to get color on this cage match. He goes, oh, no. And I said, really? And I go, we're given a cage match. I go, seriously. He goes, no one wants to see a diva bleed. And I said, well, I'll cut myself in the hairline so it won't scar my face. You can have the referee do it if you don't trust me or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Or one of the agents, Fit Finley can run down, or you know, and he goes, no, I appreciate what you're wanting to do. And they wouldn't let me. And so I told Lita, throw me as hard as you can in the cage. I mean, I'm going to do it the hard way. That's what's called the hard
yeah.
way, is getting it the true way. And I didn't know how to do it. She threw me hard. I didn't know you're supposed to scrape down and then cut yourself. She threw me hard, which gave me a lump on my head. And I didn't do it correctly. I didn't know there was a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that was the story of that. But every time I came back to TV, I'm like, I got a little nervous. Oh my gosh, what kind of match am I going to have today? Oh my gosh, what are we going to have to do? You know, it was getting more dangerous and more dangerous. And the hardcore match, I was with Trish. I broke my nose and chipped my tooth. And it was really nerve-wracking going to TV after that. You know what I mean? You're like, oh my gosh, what insanity, like what insane wrestling match are we going to have? You know, because we set the bar so high. You know what? The fans are not going to believe that we could do a normal match now. You know what I mean? But it was crazy. It was terrifying at the same time, but totally adrenaline. You know, every time we got something, we're just like, okay, we would say thank you and I'm sorry backstage, you know, because, you know, our wrestling, it's not everyone thinks it's so choreographed and it's fake. And, you know, we put our bodies on the line, you know. We land on our back for a living. It's, you know, getting hit and trying to make every move look so realistic that we would lay in our moves. The girls were considered working stiff, which means we laid our stuff in. You're going to feel it. Our clothesline, if you have a hard time bumping, you're going to bump on my clothesline. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was, thank you, I'm sorry, backstage. I don't mean to hurt you out there, but we have one take. We have to work the cameras. We have to work the fans, get our facial expressions, still look pretty as women and sexy, still look lean. Oh, my gosh, so much, you know, our makeup. And there was, you know, you don't get it, you know, hey, can I do that scene again?
It's one take, yeah. Now, so, do you watch the product today?
I do occasionally. There's a new show called Glow on Netflix. I just started watching that. Chavo Guerrero, who happens to be one of my best friends, he is part of the stunt crew on that, you know. He helps with the wrestling scenes. And so, you know, that's what I've been trying to watch. Do I watch it every single day? I do not. I'm one of those people that like watching it live. I got spoiled. Independence, I do a lot of wrestling shows. I'm going to Scotland tomorrow. I'm wrestling, you know, this Saturday. And I like, even though I'm on the show, I still watch it with the fans. Maybe in the back row or, you know, if I'm on the show, I usually watch in the back row. But when I'm a fan, I'm one of those people that like to chant and clap and, you know, I get really into watching the matches. So I prefer watching when WWE comes in town. I always ask to get a ticket. I can watch the band. I know, isn't that insane? But I do watch the girls, you know, especially, you know, social media. I get sent all the matches on social media. And, of course, I watch it, and it's amazing how well, and they have, like, sometimes two matches per show, which is amazing. You know what I mean? The girls are killing it, which, you know, even though I'm still not part of the Diva division, the WWE division, I still am part of the Diva division. You know, if you still want them to do well, because you'll always be a part of, you know, what female wrestling is all about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you are in an episode on Netflix of a show called Love. What did you do for that episode?
Okay. Well, Chavo was the stunt coordinator on that, which was quite funny because I worked with Gail Kim, who happens to be one of my best friends, too. We still talk to this day. Her and I got this part. I was a sergeant on this show, and we played two wrestlers, and you know, we were in the wrestling ring doing our moves, and the characters that were on that show were in the audience, and it was funny. Oh my gosh, it was. If I can do it all over again, even though I love wrestling, to be a stunt person is right up my alley. I mean, literally the 3 days. Okay, to shoot a 2-minute scene. 2 minutes. One day they didn't even get to us, and I still got paid to be there. And it was ridiculous money, you know, which I was really grateful. But, you know, Gail Kim and I, we got paid to go rehearse, which took 3 minutes because we worked together before. So we just did all of our signature stuff. And, her and I just played two wrestlers. She was the good guy, I was the bad guy, and I was a sergeant, and, you know, talking trash, and doing what I do with bad guys and stuff. But I have a small scene, and it's coming out season 3, I believe, and so I will be announcing it on my social media. You can follow me on, like, Instagram, Real Lisa Marie. I have a Facebook, Lisa Marie Varon, and, you know, Twitter and all that stuff. I don't know exactly when it's coming out. They said they'll let me know, but I've done it. I did that scene like months ago.
Well, you're
crazy.
you're very active on social media, and that's one of my fortes. I have a digital marketing company, so that's one of the things I always look at is what people are on. What platform do you like to be on the most? What's your favorite social platform?
You know, I have a lot more followers on Twitter because I started Instagram and Facebook way late in my career. I was like, oh no, Twitter's enough for me. I can't even keep up with that. But, you know, of course I have the platforms where it'll automatically upload to Facebook and Twitter, right? I do a lot of Instagramming. I am into Facebooking on my page, live. And, I really like the live part, which is when I first did my first live episode on that, what is it called? Facebooking Live. I didn't know you can't delete it. And so he interrupted me doing, you know, I was promoting some indie show I was on. And he goes, oh, do you want to film that for you? And I go, no, no, dude, I got this. I go, I'm filming it on Facebook. And he goes, I go, oh, and I go, oh man, let me restart it. And I was like, oh no. And I think I cursed. And I don't curse on social media. And it's like, it was Facebook Live. I can't redo it. So it was out there, you know. But I do like doing the Facebook Live stuff. But they're all the same. It, unfortunately, social media is our job.
Yes, I know.
That's how I show what I'm doing and, you know, keep the fans, you know, telling them what I'm up to. You know what I mean? Just because I'm not in WWE doesn't mean my life is over. And I'm not doing anything. You know what I mean? There's so much coming up. You know, I just got a publicist, Kathy, and she has so much planned for me. I'm telling you, I can't keep up with her.
She's amazing.
We already love Kathy because I had requested an interview with you a while back and kind of got lost in the shuffle. So Kathy made this happen, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate your time, too. Is there anything else you'd like fans to know? I know you travel a lot still and are on the road and doing shows, and you mentioned social media. What else would you like fans to know before we wrap things up?
Well, you can catch – I will be posting about that Netflix show, Love. And I'm going to Nashville next month to work against ODB. At a show, you can on my social media. It shows all the shows. My upcoming shows that I'm participating in, and I will keep you guys posted on that. And there's a lot more stuff that Kathy has up her sleeve for me. So it's very exciting. So she said, put my seatbelt on because this year is my. So I'm a little nervous, excited, and scared, all wrapped in one. But I will keep you guys posted on my social media.
Sounds good. It will be the year of Victoria or the year of Lisa Marie. We do really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for spending the last 30 minutes with us here.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor being part of the show, and I'm glad we got to catch up.
All righty. You have a great week.
You too, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa Marie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, friends. That was Lisa Marie Verone. Or Varon, of WWE fame, Victoria Tara in TNA. We really didn't even get to talk about the TNA stint, but there's so much and that we could have talked about and discussed even further with her, but really an inspiration, I think, and really, honestly, laid the groundwork for women's wrestling as we know it today.
You know, 25 minutes with her just blew by.
Absolutely.
A lot of history. We could have probably done a whole hour show with her. I do want to give her a plug. Her Instagram, I will tell you, it's great because sometimes you feel like you see some of these professionals and it's very fixed and mm-hmm. It's fake.
Yeah.
But it's so amazing to go through her Instagram feed and see a little bit of combination of who she is. Found out she's a Cubs fan, which is even better for me. But just if you get a chance, check her out. It is at Real Lisa Marie on Instagram, and I would think out of all of her accounts, that's probably one of my favorite ones to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want you to stick around and keep up with this. It's at iTomHarness on your typical social media platforms, at Kevin Huntsberger, and of course, you can check out everything at the 25th Hour Radio Show as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and be sure to have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.